Hello and welcome to the Historics Vidcast. Today we're going to be telling you the top 10 cars to buy and lock away, and we're going to talk the Historics grand plan with owner Mark Perkins. Stick around, you're not going to want to miss this. Buying or selling a classic car, visit historics.co.uk or click below for a free valuation. Now, before we get started, please remember to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. There are great videos there, including the most recent one at Ascot. Now, before we get really going, let me introduce you to new boy Fraser, new victim to my left here. He's new classic car consigner with Historics. And to my right, international globetrotting Dan Godin.
Hello.
So let's get straight into it, chaps. 10 cars to buy and lock away.
Yep.
You've got unlimited budget and garage space to put them. What are we going to decide? Because it is possibly the most common question we get asked, because people assume that we'll be able to tell them. And of course, if we really knew, we would be all on yachts in the south of France.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
So let's go around the table. First, yourself, Dan.
Okay. First up, I would probably have a Ferrari 308 GTB.
80s Ferrari, isn't it?
70s, 80s. Yeah, 80s. Started production in 75, I think, from memory.
Yep.
Good car, very usable. ULEZ free.
Important now.
Important thing.
Yes.
Especially where I live.
Ferraris are always the most solid car to put money into. They very rarely do anything other than slowly go up. I mean, even a Mondial will go up.
Italian sports cars, they always seem to be a good bet. The other thing to bear in mind is also, obviously, those cars, the 308, they haven't really peaked yet. They haven't really gone crazy in terms of price.
308s, 328s, they've all sort of stagnated.
They've stayed below the sort of, well, I said below the 100,000. They're generally below 100,000 at the moment, but they've got room to go.
And then
a lot of the earlier cars have already peaked.
With the F40 now having just gone stratospheric in the last 8 months.
Drag the rest of them up.
It will, won't it?
Yeah.
And I always thought the sort of Testarossa would be the same sort of thing. It's sort of, they'll all come up slowly as they go.
What,
so at the moment, we're sort of sub £100,000, you can buy one of the peachy ones?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you go for. If you go for a Vectra Racina fiberglass car, you're looking north of 100.
Yep.
And that is the one to have. Drive some Vectra Racina.
Bear in mind, we've got money no object here.
Yeah,
so
that would be the one. At the moment, you can pick them up for anywhere between sort of 100 and 150,000.
Yep. And where do you think? How far? What's the ceiling on those? Do you think?
It's difficult to say, really. I mean, if we knew that, like you say, we'd all be.
Well, you've got to guess.
On the yacht
this is what
in
people
the south
here.
Of France.
Are they a double your money car? Do you think?
I think potentially. Yep. Certainly, sort of up to sort of 250, 300,000 at some stage. But it's difficult to say. But they're certainly a good car to tuck away for a while.
I think you're right in what you say, though. With any car, especially a car that we think is going to go up in value, trying again to pin it down to if the money is no object or you can buy the very best, is the specific models that have got the really niche parts.
Yeah,
so the fiberglass body. It's a bit like Chairs and Flares Dinos, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, a Dino's worth that. A Chairs and Flares car's worth an awful lot more because there are a few of them, a flat floor E-Type over an E-Type,
for instance.
So, Fraser, your first one.
First one for me, I'd say the Porsche 997 GT3.
997, okay.
Yeah.
So the 4 litre.
3.8.
Oh, okay, 3.8.
3.8. Yeah. So some people might say 996. You can, I think, take your pick.
See, I would have gone 996.
Yeah.
Only on the basis that was the first of that generation.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, the 997 is the last one with the Metzger engine, and people like that. Maybe a bit easier on the eye. £80,000 doesn't get you million miles in the Porsche world, but you can buy a good 997.
You can buy a good 997 for that, can't you? Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be long before they're all six figures. And that is the Gen 1 car. The Gen 2 ones already are, really.
So again, do we think they could double its money or even go further?
Very hard to say. I think over the next 10 years, maybe an £80,000-£90,000 one might become £150,000 one day.
My first one, and I've mentioned this before, but I still think, because prices still haven't gone, would be the McLaren SLR, Mercedes McLaren SLR. The reason I picked that, because I do generally think that's a double your money kind of a car, is that it is so individual, it's so niche.
Yeah.
So it's not like something that's part of a brand's or a manufacturer's lineup. It was done once, it was done between Mercedes, who were so on vogue because of the Formula One thing in the last 6-7 years, and McLaren, obviously, which we all adore. You see prices for things like P1s just going through the roof, and also the old F1s, and then Mercedes being so much more involved in heavy sports and racing.
Yeah, I tend to agree. The SLR is definitely a car that's got room to go up in value. It could easily sort of the pattern that the Carrera GT, the Porsche Carrera GT did. You know, at one stage you could have bought them for relatively sort of good value. Now
I was going to say, really, the SLR, when it was new, went up against the Carrera GT and Ferrari Enzo, I guess.
Yeah.
Carrera GT, you can call them £1 million now, Enzo double. and an SLR's.
I think you'd be lucky to get a Carrera GT that's in good, you know, a good low mileage one for 1.5 now, mate. And the people are starting to.
So the
really
SLR looks like good value, actually.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And I think, of course, it struggled because when you get it in the cabin, it did feel like an SL. And because it was neither McLaren or Mercedes, I think it didn't initially get in between. But I actually think as time goes on, that unusual collaboration makes it all more, you know, rare. Again, low mileage is the right, and there are special editions, but I think generally speaking, if you can pick one up around 250, I think it's going
to
be a half.
I
think it could
agree.
Be in time is the other aspect of this, but in 20 years time I could see it being worth £1 million.
So sure.
Again, how long do you want to lock these away for? But I think that's a really easy one to stick away. Okay, next one up then, Dan, what have you got next?
Next one, I've got Porsche 911 Supersport.
Now, why would you think Dan would say a Porsche?
I couldn't possibly say.
It's got to be a Supersport. It's got to be a Targa.
Oh, it's got to be a Targa as well, is it? And what colour combination?
Yeah, exactly. I think any 80s G-Series 911 are good news, purely for the fact that they're very drivable cars. The gearbox, having a G50 gearbox in them, makes it very drivable, can keep up with modern traffic. And a lot of people coming through liking these old cars, they can get in them and drive them without really sort of having to change their driving style or anything like that. So it's a very usable car, and because of that, I think the values are already starting to go up.
You're hoping?
I hope Dan
has one, of course.
On that topic, I would say the BMW E46 M3.
I can't believe this. It's such a shameful plugging of your own cars, chaps.
Yeah, but I think specifically you want a manual coupe.
Definitely manual, yes.
Yeah, and convertibles are popular, but really investment wise you want a coupe. If you're talking money no object, buy the best one you can, obviously, but I think if you spend £25,000 now, I think that could quite easily be a double your money car in 10 years.
Bear in mind we're going to lock these away. Key factors on buying, again, I'm assuming mileage.
Yeah, I think mileage is important, but on those there's quite a few jobs you need to do that really overshadow the mileage sometimes. If you've got all the big jobs done, boot floor, rod bearings, things like that, that's one of the main things people look for. And I think if you can get your hands on a special colour, not just silver or black, again, it helps.
And a colour make a difference with specific marks? I mean, with some cars, I mean, it's always a bit, look, if you haven't got a Ferrari in red, you always think, okay, maybe it's a bit niche.
Yeah, I think on those, so many were silver or black.
Yep.
And they did loads of great colours when they were new. No one bought them. So when a rare colour is available, people will pay a bit more.
That's always the problem, isn't it? The BM3 was a very drivable, usable car. So therefore, you fall into that trap of people buying cars on quite dull colours because they're thinking of resale values and so on and so forth. But when it comes to being more collectible, actually, you prefer it in the far.
I mean, there's one specific colour, Laguna Seca Blue, is really in your face. You can have the interior in the same colour. No one bought them new because they are in your face. But if you get one now,
desirable, rarer.
And I would pay a lot more to have that.
And key, and we said about manual gearboxes, of that era, everything is about manual gearboxes because the automatic boxes just weren't what they are now.
No, they weren't.
And ultimately, you get that again, that visceral feeling of physically changing gear in a far greater engine than you had.
And lots of people now are converting the SMG gearbox cars into manual because it is the same gearbox. So it's quite easy to do.
Right, okay, so along those lines, and talking about crazy colours, the next one I've got, again, money no object, Lamborghini Diablo. And the reason I've thought this is that actually in the auction world, and we very, 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 very rarely ever see one come up. You see a few in the States, they just don't crop up.
There's quite a few in the States.
And when you think
of
things like F40s and other cars that you do see and how much they've really launched in value.
Same era,
Same era of cars. Again, I would want one in a really leery colour because it's Lamborghini. I wouldn't
green,
want one in silver.
Orange, something like that.
It's got to be, hasn't it? Yellow is the probably iconic colour.
Its values, it's you know, the other cars that came before it, the Countach, the Miura, they've already gone crazy.
Yeah. I always thought the Diablo was the one that probably wouldn't set the same kind of highlights as them because the Miura and the Countach really were the top of the poster.
Absolutely,
of course. Whereas the Diablo almost at the time was a little bit softer, rounded. It wasn't probably received as well. But it's still Lamborghini bonkers. You know, 6-litre V12s and crazy doors and in rap videos and all sorts of things. And always in crazy colours.
Yeah.
I just think that, and then prices are a bit all over the place. Again, you want to be picking something that's a real special example, a smaller.
You get one of those SE30s, the purple ones. Yeah, that's probably the one.
Really drill down on the numbers of that particular car produced. But again, equally, if it's got a reasonably low mileage, it's been well kept from a collector rather than being used in too many rap videos,
yeah.
I think that they're again, genuine, and at least double.
I think it was
cars.
An SE30 that was used in the Jamiroquai video, was it?
Yeah, I think there was another nice one.
That's the one to have.
Yeah. Nice 40.
I just think they'd be fantastic. You'd need sort of a almost double width garage for that one.
Yes,
they are. Yeah. They are something
double
to drive.
Width. It and really also is. They're quite long. As
they're,
well.
They've carried on that mantra from the Countach of slightly scary to drive.
Exactly.
But I think definitely. I mean, I don't. Prices are a bit all over the place because I don't see so many. You see lots of huge prices in dealers, and you don't know whether they've got that. There's a few I've seen sold over in the States, sort of 350. But I just think that there's again at least a double jump in
there's
those.
There's definitely some move. Yeah, there's definitely a move for those to make.
It takes one to sell well publicly, and then suddenly you'll
and
see.
And also,
them
if you out. If you consider. Similar era Ferrari F50, they are going crazy. $4-5 million They sell a lot in the States.
Do you like it? I don't like an F50.
I think the lines of an F40 you can't really beat.
And the F50 felt like a softened.
Yeah, the F50 is a brilliant car. Yeah.
On paper, it's a very similar. It's a very similar package to a Diablo manual, big V12. And an F50 is what, $4 million?
It's already gone.
Gone,
hasn't it?
Yeah.
And
so
actually, if
a Diablo looks cheap.
What you said to me is, you've got an F40 for two or a F50 for four. I'm buying an F40.
Yeah.
It's not about prices. They've already gone now, I think. Yeah, but sure. I prefer the Icon compared to the F50.
So would I,
So, next up, last one from your garage.
So, something a bit different. Not everyone's cup of tea, I wouldn't imagine, but something that I really like. A Noble M12. So one of the early cars. Well, they did the 2.5 litre and the 3 litre. Just a great car to drive. Yeah. If you've ever driven one, I don't know if you guys have, but they're just brilliant cars to drive. And the thing with them is because they were so good to drive, a lot of people track them. A lot of people crash them. So there's very, very few that are honest
test of time.
Yeah, examples, low mileage that haven't been thrashed around.
They're probably not a huge amount of money.
Sort of £30,000 around sort of figure, depending on mileage and condition. Yeah. But I could see that, you know, going up again, sort of double the money kind of thing.
Well, I think that nice sort of, you know, very much, it's got a nice story to it, the provenance of those cars, because they were hand-built, they're by him, they're very niche, and therefore as time goes on, they become a bit more of a rarity.
They're very analog as well. They're very, you know, they weren't built long ago, but they're very basic. Yeah. Because they're basic, they're easy to work on, and they're very good cars.
Next for you, last car in your garage.
One which I think is really good news at the moment is the Nissan Skyline GTR, but the R32 specifically.
R32, not the R34. Yeah. Everyone goes for the R34, but you think the R32.
Exactly. Yeah, so the R34 now, that's the one most people aspire to own.
Yes.
And they are comfortably into six figures. And an R32, you can buy a really nice one for under 50, 40, 45. And
the trick I always find with these, and with all of these sort of Japanese sports cars, it's that sort of balance of imported cars and finding UK examples. And traditionally, UK examples are far, far greater in expense. Is that, do you think, as prices move, that those imported examples will move along with and still retain the value? It's just that we've become a bit...
I think if you can find a UK-supplied one, then fantastic. Yeah. But they're so rare that...
And the premiums seem to be, you know, outwardly.
Yeah, is it really worth it? I wouldn't personally pay the extra. I would rather just have a Japanese one. The condition of them is so good, usually, that it wouldn't bother me.
The final one I had, and actually I've gone right further down the pecking order, and it's probably a bit of a love thing over it, but I think there's a lot of legs in it, and it goes into the hot hatch territory.
Yeah.
Is the Renault Clio Williams.
Yeah.
One of the best cars I've ever driven.
Such absolutely a good car. Yeah. And I just think that they had a little sort of moment a couple of years ago where everyone suddenly wanted to get into them. And there was lots of sort of a bit leggy cars. They're hot hatches, let's be honest. We all drove hot hatches and we all wrecked them.
Yeah.
So finding really good examples is difficult. But I think for what you can pick one up for now, I think it's always going to be an icon.
Yeah. On paper, £20,000 or £25,000 appears to be a lot of money for a hot hatch. But
get out and drive that.
If you drive one of them, I drove one last year and... I've driven a lot of nicer cars on paper, but that was a lot of fun.
It's just
really
good.
I've driven one of those before. The only thing I found with it is it's slightly underpowered.
I think that's the era of them.
Hot hatch, obviously, they're not going to be the most powerful, but that's the one thing that I was a little bit underwhelmed with.
I always find, though, with hot hatches, that's the difference in And again, we're lucky enough to drive some of these supercars, and so it's all power.
Yeah, you can.
But when you get into those, when
you're going exactly,
you find yourself using the whole rev range rather than just changing gear because you're about to, you know, launch into the next county. So that's 9 cars in our garage. I'm going to leave one for later because I'm going to ask Mark to give us his ace in the pack.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I know what that would be.
Well, if he says DB5, he's just sold this. So he's gone and gone that very wrong. So on to the next thing. Obviously, we've just had a fantastic auction at the Classic Car Show, and we're moving towards the Ascot sale. Now, by the time this comes out, Clattle for that will be closed. Yeah. Fear not. We've got a double header at Ascot this year, so we're going back there in May. So if you want to have a look at your car and us come out and have a look at it for you, click in the notes below. There'll be a link there to the valuation requests. Fill that out. One of us will come out, have a look at your car and see if we can get that. Free, no obligation. Next auction, though, have you got anything nice that you can tell us about that you've consigned?
Yeah, a few nice cars. We've got one car which I think might be the first one brought to auction in the UK. It's a 1958 Chevrolet Impala, so the first year of the Impala. You know, it's not the sort of thing I'm always following, the American cars, but I've seen this in the flesh, and the quality of it is amazing. It's been on the Goodwood Cartier lawn, so it's, it's quite a nice
very
one.
Very good quality. Though.
Yeah, the owner believes the mileage might be genuine, 13,000 miles since the late 50s. You know, and that's under £50,000.
And with the American car, is it how is it fully restored? To what sort of level?
To be honest, he bought it in 2006 in the States, and he hasn't had to do a lot to it.
So it was pretty much perfect then.
Yeah, and it's quite amazing when you see it in the flesh. It's really good.
What have you got upcoming?
I've got a few bits that are quite interesting. I've got a 2009 Rolls-Royce Phantom Coupe, which is a more modern. But we always seem to do quite well with those more modern Rolls-Royces.
I think Ascot's always a great place. People like to see them. Think, oh, that'd be lovely to waft around it.
Yeah, fully serviced all the way through. Main dealer services the whole way through. A really nice car. On the flip side, I've got a 280 SL Pagoda California Coupe, which is two owners from new. That'll be one to watch. It's no reserve.
No reserve. That really bomb. So I've got a few nice things coming in. I think the catalogue's developing well. But by the time this is released, you'll be able to go online to historics.co.uk and see that whole catalogue, which will be lovely to see. And it's going to be a good event. It's right at the spring.
Always is. Ascot.
Yeah, I like Always Ascot. I do like Ascot. So what I'll do now is I'm going to go and get Mark. I'll shuffle you off, get him back in. He's going to tell us about the next great things in historics. So I'll pop off and go grab him, and we'll see you in a little while.
Well,
nice you to join us.
Okay. Well, I get earphones as well, do I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so Mark.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
So what?
Grand plan for historics. Now, there's a few. There's a bit of news in the offing, isn't there? Which I thought best you tell us about.
Well, not a lot of people. I'll get it out in the end. Know that we're a property company. Yes. We're not actually, this auction isn't the be-all or end-all.
We're your toy, aren't we, basically?
We are. You're just my toy.
You bat us away whenever you want to.
So lucky myself, my two brothers, we've had a relatively decent success over industrial estates and stuff like that. And going back about 4 years ago, we bought a small estate, only an acre, on over in Ascot, right next to the tube station, prime location, very close to the racecourse.
Yep.
And we're building all our new offices, warehousings, sheds for storing cars, you know.
So our new HQ?
It is going to be new HQ, yes, without a doubt. But there is another reason. It's about a mile away from my house, so I can actually just...
Penny drops.
I might be late or early. I'm not sure whether I'm even coming.
And you can walk to work. You've got some photos. Do you want to show us some photos
yes,
of it?
Yes, so there's two sets. So as you look there, I'll bounce that sort of around to you. So that there... That's the storage facility, etc. So you can see nice, brand new storage units, clean and tidy and secure. But really, that one there, Matt, and I'll let you hold that.
Oh, wow. Hello, this is a bit Porsche GB, isn't it?
Flash.
So this is the offices. So this is a two-story offices with cars upstairs and downstairs. We will combine our property company along with historics. You know, as we know, we're a big office team. We're probably 15 in the office now.
10 years ago when I started, and wasn't soon after historic.
When he was
started,
a baby.
When I was a baby. Yeah. We literally above a cafe on an industrial estate. Nice. Every morning you could smell the sweet smell of bacon. You'd go home
very
smelling
hungry,
it. When it was cold, it was colder than it was outside. Yeah. When it was hot, it was, I mean, if it was hotter. 40 degrees outside, it would be 47 degrees inside the office.
But what we did have then is, you know, we've got the passion for this, etc. And this is... I know we're sort of blowing our own trumpet, etc. We started, you know, in an old office. We now own our own offices. You know, yeah. I'd like to think financially we're quite a secure company.
We generally
company.
Started with nothing. Yeah. It was. You know, you were in porter cabins. We were in an office above a.
That's it, yeah.
A cafe, and the reason is because, which is true.
Yeah.
We didn't want to lump that cost onto customers.
No.
We wanted to make sure that we could provide the best possible service, for the customer.
And we owned all the buildings anyway, so it was great news. So we went from rough and ready to posh.
State of the art.
Trumpet fully blown. Let's have a bit of fun. Yeah. And
I've got a quiz. I'm not very good on quizzes.
I've got a quiz. Luckily for you, it's mainly multiple choice. Okay. But we're going to do this quiz now, and then we'll wrap things up. So, okay, first question. According to science, a modern Formula One car can drive upside down in a tunnel. Yes or no?
No.
I'm going to say yes. They create a lot of downforce.
According to science, it can be done.
Yeah, can you let Fraser know that his time is finished?
Yeah, so okay. The dude was at 120 miles an hour. A Formula One car produces around 3.5G while cornering, yeah. Meaning they could got enough aerodynamic downforce they could physically drive upside down in a tunnel.
Yeah.
Yet to be done.
Yeah.
I like a big tunnel,
you know,
wouldn't you?
Yeah. Do you know who would do that? Guy Martin. Get him in there. He'd do that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Question two. Give or take, how many cars were produced every minute according to the last census, which was around 2017? How many cars per minute? And I'll give you three choices here. So multiple choice, one in three chance. Is it 12 a minute, 72 a minute, or 133 cars a minute?
And this
produced?
Is throughout the world.
Throughout the world. A minute.
33.
That's 133, Gumball.
Oh, 133. What do we say again?
It's 12, 72, or 133?
72. Go 72 in the middle.
Yeah, I think go down the middle. Sounds
72
safe.
As well?
Yeah.
Both wrong.
Gosh.
It was 133.
Because I did say that at the beginning, 133.
You did go that, and you've changed it.
So I think probably that's more.
Well, that's 192,000 a day, 8,000 an hour.
Wow.
We've got a lot of cars to sell in the next auction.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not going to slow down, is it? So third one, driving at 60 miles an hour, how long would it take to drive to the moon? Multiple choice, I'll give you a choice. A, a month. B, a week. C, a year. A month, a week, or a year to drive at 60 miles an hour.
So that's a mile a minute is 60 miles an hour.
Well done. Did you?
Yeah.
So fantastic. I don't know how many, school, we worked that out.
I don't know how many
hours. Education's
how many,
so high.
Go on, it's not a year. It's definitely not a year.
Is it not a year?
And
I'm going for a year.
You're one up at the moment. You want to try and hold that lead. Yeah. What are you going to go for?
So it's a week, a month, or a year.
Yeah.
Our options. Okay.
A year, Fraser.
I'm going with a month.
Right. It's a year.
So Fraser's gone for a month. What do you think?
A year.
It's a year.
Confidently, it's a year.
Yeah, confidently wrong. It's a month. Fraser takes an unassailable lead at 2 minutes.
He's no right to give him a bit.
I mean, he's not going
to
last very long. You know, you've got 6 months probation. Yes, careful, yes, beating the boss.
Don't keep pulling that one out.
Number four, according to Rolls-Royce, what percentage of their cars?
Four questions. Three to
know. You've got loads. Don't worry. According to Rolls-Royce, what percentage of their cars are still on the road? This is important because this makes a difference.
I didn't
to
listen to the question. What was that again? Sorry.
A, B, or C.
Just go for a B then.
So, according
idea.
To Rolls-Royce, what percentage of their cars are still on the road today?
I know the number's high.
60, 82 or 75?
No, they're all high.
82, Fraser. Go for 82.
Yeah, I think 82.
I'm going for 82, Fraser. Yeah.
Really?
I know the number's high.
Should I not, Matt? Should I not? 60, 70-ish?
It's 75.
75%, I say. I'd like to pull something.
I'll just give that one to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so 75.
I don't even know where they are.
That's 75% of Rolls-Royce still on the road today.
Yeah.
Fifth question. What's the world record for replacing a car engine? I couldn't believe this. Is it 1 minute 20, 3 minutes, or 42 seconds?
Oh, they're all quite impressive.
How on earth could you
replace an engine?
It must be really simple.
I'm going to go with 3 minutes.
Yeah.
3 minutes?
Yeah, bottom one.
Yeah.
42 seconds.
42 seconds is what I think. I remember doing
that.
Okay,
did you change that engine?
Yeah.
Number six, what's the highest total mileage clocked by a single car? Is it
2.5
million, 3.25 million, or 1.8 million miles?
About 2.5 million. That was a Volvo P1800.
So it now stands.
Why does he know everything?
Stands at ease, I mean, but you employed him. it stands at 3.25 million miles.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Same plugs?
It's a Volvo. Same plugs, yeah. It was same mechanics that replaced the engine.
And it's not like Trigger's broom, is it?
Do you know what? Only one.
Seven engines.
Yeah, he was probably not much left of it.
12 wheels, yeah.
On average, only 1% of cars every year make it past 200,000 miles. So to get to 3.25 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic.
And most of those 1% will all be Mercedes driven in taxis.
Yeah, and I think it's in a museum.
Yeah, I'm sure it was one owner.
Yeah.
One owner did all of the miles.
Really tried to.
Yeah.
Oh, and before we finish, we've been talking about the top 10 cars to buy and lock away.
Yeah.
We've done 9 of them. We left the last one to you. What would you buy? Money, no object.
Yeah.
Car to buy, lock away that you think would be worth much more.
From brand new.
Now. It can be in any condition.
I would go for the lowest mileage,
yep,
original, untampered with car, and I would go with a Ford.
Ford's.
And I would throw it right down to, you know, we're 80s kids, RS, Mexicos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sort of thing there.
But the price has gone through the roof for Ford at the moment, hasn't it?
It's unbelievable. If you've got a good Ford, you're going to get good money.
Right, well, we best wrap this up. Remember, if you enjoyed this, please do check out YouTube, Instagram, follow our videos, like and subscribe, get a hold of all this content. There's lots of these vidcasts, podcasts and videos that we've done recently for all the upcoming auctions. The next auction is at Ascot on the 8th of April, which will be coming up very shortly. And again, as I said, if you want to consign your car, you've missed that deadline. We have a double header. We have another one in May. So get in contact, look for those notes below and have a look for the valuation request. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much, Fraser. That's all from us right now. And please do like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye.